And tonight I'm going to be ministering on mysteries, mysteries of the new heavens and the new earth. And I will explain the verse that I'm going to get to at the end of the message, because it is one of the most unique and, I'm going to say it, rather bizarre passages in the Old Testament. Isaiah 66, 24, 22 through 24. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Speaking of Israel. It'll come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. Jesus quoted that verse about hell. Neither shall their fire be quenched. Jesus quoted that phrase on hell. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And as I said, it will take me the entire message of about 60 minutes to explain to you the weird part of that verse. And it is strange, and you have to admit that it's very strange. I have a good news for you. Everybody ready for the good news? Everybody's going to go to heaven. They are. And here's the bad news. Not everybody's going to stay. What do I mean by everybody's going to go to heaven? Look at these four groups that will be one day in heaven. The dead in Christ, who their soul and spirit is presently in paradise, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3, will come back with Jesus when he returns at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, 14, and we will meet them in the air, and they will be given a resurrected, glorified body. And then they will go back to heaven in a glorified, resurrected body. Then we who are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, and will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to go to heaven because we have a judgment to attend. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Then there comes a period of time at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's another judgment. And it says that in Revelation 20:11, the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell gave up the dead that are in it. And it says that there will be people that are going to be judged at that judgment. And here's one for you, 2 Peter chapter 2 and 4. There are fallen angels now bound in the center of the earth in a place called Tartarus. And that was the lowest hell according to the ancient Greeks. And they are going to come out from that underworld. And Satan and all of the fallen angels and the prince spirits and the prince that you read about in Daniel 10, all of them are going to be judged at the same time at this second judgment. So there's a judgment called the Bema. And that happens during the 7-year tribulation period, Revelation 11, 18, probably right in the middle of the tribulation, according to the chronology, is the judgment seat where they that fear the name of the Lord and have loved the Lord and the prophets and the saints receive their rewards. That's the beam of the judgment seat of Christ. Then another judgment, there's actually several judgments, but at the next main judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, I'd like to read to you the verse on the Great White Throne Judgment. It'll come up on the screen. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. All the people in hell will go to heaven to be judged. They're going to want to know why they're in hell. They're going to want to know, why am I sentenced for eternity? And God has to show them the reason why, being a righteous judge. Now look at the people that are there. Death and hell after this judgment, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. There's actually a physical death, but the first death is when you go to hell, but the second death is when you go to the lake of fire. But you're not dead when you're in hell. It's eternal punishment. And that word eternal in Greek is the same word for eternal life. It means forever and ever, unending life, unending death. Not death in the sense of sleeping and not being alert. You are alert, but you are separated from God. Let me tell you, separation from God is a death. And people that have gone to hell in a life after death experience will tell you that the worst part of it is the absence of God's presence and the darkness. Now look at this judgment, which is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The place is in heaven. The location happens to be the very throne room of God, which is called the courtroom of heaven. It's massive. It will hold on that floor of that courtroom billions and billions of people. Imagine how big it is. The air above it is a crystal. I'm going from the Bible. The floor is a crystal. You can actually see through the floor, but there is a rainbow around the throne. The throne of God changes colors. One moment in Revelation 20, it's white. In the book of Ezekiel, it is a sapphire stone. And then in the early part of Revelation, it is a jasper stone. When it's white, God is judging people at the throne room itself. When it is sapphire, God is going forth to judge the earth, because it says he's a fire from the loins up in Ezekiel and a fire from the loins down. When it turns jasper, he's being worshiped by people in heaven. The throne changes colors based upon the activities involving God in heaven. Now, the persons that are at this judgment are not Christians. We've already been judged 1,000 years prior. The sinners from all ages past, hell gives up its dead. The fallen angels, everyone who died during the tribulation has to be judged. Now, this is why all fallen angels are going to immediately go to the lake of fire. All sinners in hell are already sentenced to the lake and fire. So why does it say he opened books and judged people with their works? Those are the people who die in the tribulation. The people who survive the tribulation repopulate the earth, but they have to live the way we did, and their works are recorded. Their deeds are recorded. Did they repent? And that's why these books are open. Not that God takes, and there's people that believe this, not that God takes the people from hell and opens their book and says, well, I sent you down there for a while, but you really weren't that bad, so you can come in now. There's people that believe that. It's called universalism. But the judgment of the books and opening up the Lamb's book is to see those who lived in the tribulation. Did they receive Christ or not? Did they serve him or not? Did they worship him or not? And that's why at the white throne judgment, you got those in hell, they're already sentenced. The fallen angels, they're already sentenced. But God sends them there to show them by what he has written why he's determined to be the judge and give them that particular outcome. So here's the bottom line. The great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, it's when it will happen, that judgment is to judge all humans individually and in mass at the same time. The second reason for that judgment is to separate those people from like the ones who are going to hell and sentenced to hell and those who in the tribulation died but served the Lord, who will be allowed to rule with him in eternity, minus those who did not serve the Lord. And can I tell you something? It's hard for me to believe that with Jesus on earth and Satan bound, people are not going to serve the Lord. But if you go to the book of Revelation at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed a season and Gog and Magog raise back up and come against the camp of the saints to try to attack Jesus. Satan, you're not going to learn your lesson till you're in the lake of fire. And I like that Southern gospel song. Liar, liar, headed for the lake of fire. Just thought I'd throw that in there, a little Bill Gaither punch, you know. Bill Gaither punch there. Now, the third thing that's going to happen, and this is interesting, judging all humans, separating the souls, whether they, if they serve God in the tribulation and died and are resurrected and judged correctly, they will then be allowed to rule in the new heaven and new earth. If they did not, they will also be confined to the lake of fire. But there's also a judgment of the angels. Do you know Satan has to be judged? Do you know why Satan has to be judged? Do you know why fallen angels have to be judged? Can I tell you what? Satan is such a liar. He would love to be able to go at his own judgment and say, the crucifixion never took place. Because there's people that teach that in their religion. Somebody else took Jesus' place. It wasn't him. The crucifixion never took place. It was all a hoax. And all Jesus has to do is walk over and roll up his sleeves.
And there's some scars that he carried. And I know he carried them because when he saw Thomas after the resurrection, he said, reach here and touch my hands and reach and touch my thigh. And you're going to find I have holes there. He's the only one that for eternity carries wounds because he wants the devil to know you're never going to stand up here and lie and tell anybody that it didn't happen, that I didn't redeem mankind. I have the wounds. And they will say in Jerusalem when he rules and reigns, where did you get those wounds? And the prophet said, he will reply, in the house of my friends. And that's why Jesus continues to carry the wounds. So we will, according to the Bible, I may bring this out later, judge the angels. We will be at that judgment, which is the great white throne judgment. Jude 6 says this, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, or first estate, the King James says, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And that refers to what is called the great white throne judgment. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment and I'm going to go off on a rabbit trail. Now, I had someone ask me a question many years ago and I've never forgot the question. They said, okay, when did Satan fall, Perry? And I said, Satan fell between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. And in Hebrew, and I think Bill will agree with me on this, it implies by the Hebrew word, it was done perfectly. Everything was great. Verse 2, the earth is without form and void, darkness is upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. So if he creates the heavens and the earth, then all of a sudden in verse 2, the earth is without form and void. That doesn't make sense. It's really in good shape in 1:1. It's in bad shape in 1:2. Why? Because Satan fell from heaven and rebelled and took one third of the angels with him between ages past, before the creation of Adam on earth. Satan was already a fallen being. Now, if he would have come into the garden as Lucifer, a fallen angel, Adam and Eve would have detected something was not right. What did he use? Talk to me, someone. A serpent. Now, don't get messed up on a talking snake, because Josephus, the Jewish historian, will tell you what the Jews taught in his day. That in the beginning of time, Adam was able to communicate to the animals. Now, you say, I don't believe that. Look, folks, I have a talking parrot that will whistle at women. I mean, you can hear him on the other. You come into my house and you're a female. He goes, and I'm saying, that's the bird. It really is a bird in there in my room. There really is a bird. He says, roll tide, roll tide, woo, woo, roll tide. That came from Pam Stone. And her best friend Sylvia comes and stays during the conferences and sneaks in there and tries to say that bird, war eagle, war eagle. The devil is a liar. Come on, help me, somebody. Now, don't write me if you're watching this. I'm cutting up with my people. All right, but let's go over this again. Josephus taught that Adam could communicate to the animal kingdom. Number two, he taught that they were familiar with the serpent. You ready for this? And the serpent lived with them. They're very familiar with it. So it could communicate. And when the serpent is in the tree talking to Eve, you need to try this. I'm telling you something. God knows that your eyes will be open. She was deceived by something she was familiar with. So, come on, you and I know, if I walk out here and I see a talking serpent, I'm going to be a millionaire in a year because I'm going to put him in the circus and make some money on that thing. You understand what I'm saying? But it wasn't weird to her because there were things that were different. And then when Adam fell, the animal kingdom goes under a curse where it cannot communicate to a human being, but a dog can bark and a dog knows what it's saying. A cat can meow and knows what it's saying. A cow can, a bird can whistle and know what the bird's saying. Is anybody hearing me now? But there's a broken communication line. So I wanted to share that with you. Let's go back to Satan. So the question becomes this. It's a very simple question. Why did God not just bind Satan immediately in a place called hell? Because it says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And why did he even allow him to be free and roam free? And the answer is sin was already in the universe. Angels had already fallen before Adam had ever been created, and God had to give the man he created in his image a choice of, do you follow me or do you follow him? And man fell and followed the wrong person. And for 6,000 years, we've been in the crisis we've been in. But it doesn't answer the question, why didn't God just get rid of Satan? You ready for this? Because according to the Bible, angels are spirits. They can take on forms. The Holy Spirit is a spirit and came in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptismal. The Bible says God is a spirit. Let me tell you something about spirits. You are a body, say body, soul, and what else? Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Your body returns back to the dust. Your soul is connected to your blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the nephesh. The soul is nephesh. It's connected to the blood part of you because the blood is the life force and the soul is the life force of your body connected to the blood. So when you die, you have that aspect of life force dying. Physical life dies, but the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What does that mean? That means your spirit keeps living on. Why? Because when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, he breathed a soul and a spirit into him. It's like taking a balloon, blowing into it, and whatever shape that balloon is, it will take that shape when the air gets in it. So it was the breath of God. The breath of God was breathed into Adam. And listen to me, whatever comes out from God can never die. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And because the air came from God and the breath came from God and the nephesh came from God and the spirit came from God, that spirit can be separated from God, but that spirit cannot die. And that's the reason why hell is eternal, because the human spirit cannot be annihilated. It cannot even be cut. It cannot be destroyed. The body can, the spirit cannot. It's eternal. And Satan is a spirit fallen angel. And because he's a fallen angel, God cannot, you say God can do what he wants. Wait a minute. God cannot destroy him because he is a spirit being, and a spirit being, whether it's your spirit, whether it's an angelic spirit, whether it's a demonic spirit, it continues on forever, and you either will continue on forever in your spirit, in a glorified body, in the presence of God, or you will be eternally confined to the lake of fire. That, look, I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what the God of heaven through the Holy Spirit says about the book. So angels are spirits, Psalms 104:4. You're a body, soul, and spirit. Your body goes back to the dust. Your soul is the breath of God. Your spirit is the image of God in you, and it also looks like you. So therefore, heaven and earth shall pass away. In other words, it shall perish, but my word shall not pass away. And spirits, watch this, can be bound in the underworld in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, in a place called Tartarus, but there is no, I have some friends that they believe in annihilation. At some point, everybody after the great white throne judgment is burnt to a crisp. Their memory is completely gone, but you can't believe that if you understand the word eternal in Greek is the same word eternal life, eternal punishment, eternal damnation. It's the same word eternal. And you can't make the damnation death and make the one about eternal life, life forever, because it's the same Greek word. And so in other words, there is eternal life for the righteous, eternal punishment for the wicked. Now there's coming in the very near future what I call the third creation. The Garden of Eden was the original creation, and it lasted 1,556 years till the flood of Noah. There was an angel guarding the gate to keep man out, if you read the Bible. After the flood, there's something called the post-flood recreation, and it's lasted for now 4,500 years. But there is coming in eternity, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, something called the new heaven and the new earth. So, go back to this judgment, because I want to talk about this. This great white throne judgment, everybody in history, now not the believers, we've already gone through our judgment at the Bema. We already have our resurrected bodies. We got those when the tribulation was going on earth and we were in heaven, Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. But everyone else in history that's ever lived from the time of Adam's fall, whether if it's Cain, if Cain didn't make it, it'll start with Cain, all the way to the end of the 1,000 years will be assembled in one location in heaven at the great white throne judgment. The saints of God are going to be present. We're going to be there. We're going to all be there. You know why? We judge the angels. So you know what that means? God must have records on angels in heaven that he opens. Boy, doesn't Satan have a list? I bet he's got a book. All right. Then here's what happens. And this is an important verse, and if you've ever read this, this is how this comes into place. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, I do not know how long the white throne judgment is. It could be instantaneous. It could be decades.
It could go on for a while. I do not know. It doesn't tell you that. But here's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 13. The scripture should come up. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to God's promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is where scholars come up with the theological teaching of the renovation of the heavens and the earth before the city New Jerusalem that John saw coming down out of heaven actually comes down to the earth. And it's going to be dissolved by a great noise. That Greek word is a great crash. It's something that whirls, causing a crash. And so then it says that the elements are going to melt. The Greek word elements means the order or the arrangement of creation. The word melt can be one of two Greek words. One means the first word, it will melt, and then it melts with fervent heat. The first word is to break up and dissolve. The second word, listen to this, is to liquefy. I mean, literally turn it into, you know, the evolutionists talk about that primordial soup. It literally just it just takes the whole thing. You know why? Because there's disease on the earth. There's been death on the earth. There's been viruses on the earth. And anyone knows that intensive heat can kill those. So everything is purified and it's made new. There is a new heaven and a new earth. The Greek word new is an infant breastfeeding. How do you like that? An infant breastfeeding, meaning it is a newly born, recreated heaven and earth. And I'm just getting started. Somebody give the Lord a praise right now.
During the 2024 Prophetic Summit, five speakers unlocked unusual prophetic mysteries, presenting striking insights that many attendees had never heard. We received several testimonies from those who attended. One attendee shared,
"I've studied the Bible my entire life. I binge-watch prophecy programs. Before I came to the conference, I thought I'd heard everything. But after listening to these 13 messages and speakers, I realized I haven't even heard half of it, and certainly don't know as much as I thought."
The 13 2024 Prophetic Summit messages are now available on CD, DVD, USB drive as MP3 audio files, as well as video on demand. Hear Jonathan Kahn as he unveiled the Josiah Manifesto, unlocking more end-time mysteries and patterns. Bill Cloud examined the question, "Where in the world is Palestine?" He later taught what the Bible reveals about global warming, "It's not what you think." Mark Biltz exposed the designs and plots of the internal war in America. Mark's second message is illustrated with PowerPoint charts, helping identify the true biblical calendar and amazing prophetic parallels. Lance Wallnell released a stunning revelation titled, "How God Will Soon Shake the Visible and Invisible Kingdoms." Lance's second teaching will teach you about receiving the firstborn anointing that brings about the final fall of Satan's influence and the demise of his kingdom. Billy Crone proved by 12 facts exposing that aliens are actually demonic manifestations. You certainly don't want to miss this insightful message. Perry Stone's five new messages are 16 Harbingers, Parallels of the Days of Noah and Lot. Perry then explains the mystery of the eighth beast and the death wound that is healed. In his third message, Perry will give you the seven things that must happen before the Antichrist arrives. You will then be enthralled when Perry transports you into the future with the message, "The Mystery of the New Heavens on the New Earth." This includes the biblical prophecy of an opening on earth where saints on the new earth can peer into hell. Then Perry's most talked about and stirring message, exposing an early family secret in his Italian family, is called the 1915 Warning. This message could save your family's life. This truth can transform your relatives and children for eternity. The 13 audio CDs or USB drive are $70. The 13 DVDs are $105 per set, and the video on demand is available for $90. Invest in your future. Be informed of what is coming. Discover God's latest word on the last days. Listen or watch over and over again and glean important spiritual insights. You may order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or go online at perrystone.org. You may also send a check or money order and order by using the product codes on the screen. The address is Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Order today. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Let me ask you a question. Did you know that John in the book of Revelation was not the first person to predict a new heaven and new earth? There's an Old Testament prophet that predicted it first, hundreds of years before John saw this, by revelation of the Spirit of God. And in his vision in Isaiah, he gave two verses of scripture that are the most controversial of the entire Bible. And people have tried to explain them and just finally they leave it alone. They say, you know what, I'm not going to cover this. This makes no sense whatsoever. So what I did in this message of the new heaven and new earth, I went to Isaiah and I broke down this verse. And honestly, it's one of the most unusual verses of the future that's in the entire Bible. And so I hope you get the series on CD or DVD. It helps keep Manifest on the air. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You've seen it, and I hope that you're able to get it, because that's 13 messages, unedited, by the way. You get the unedited version in both the CDs and DVDs. We just want to remind you, of course, of coming to the state of Texas, in Huntsville, Texas, Huntington, West Virginia. We're going to be coming to Florida. We're going to be coming to a number of areas. But most of all, get your registration in. Now, don't register and say, well, we might come, so we're going to register. You only register if you have a room. And let me advise you something. Book your room early. You can book it here in Cleveland. If we're booked, you go to Athens, you can go to Ottawa and drive a beautiful back road to come to the Omega Center International. But you got to get your room booked, okay? Because Cleveland, Tennessee stays busy in the fall. So I hope many of you will come to the Awaken America event in October. We're looking forward to it. We're going to be honoring the veterans and doing so many other things. See you then. Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone, and we're about to have the greatest gathering in the history of the Voice of Evangelism Ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. On October the 1st through the 5th, we have our Awaken America event. Every denomination, patriots, Christians, believers from all denominations, you're invited to join me with Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, Joseph Z., with myself as keynote speakers. Jensen Franklin is coming. There has never been an event held at the Omega Center International like this. October 1, Tuesday night, through Saturday, October the 5th, with Pam's Fall Festival in the evening on Saturday. Register now at perrystone.org.